And Dawson is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you found this. Look, here's our oath of loyalty. And Pacey's like, this is when we became blood brothers.
They're blood brothers. It's so cute. A little disturbing. I actually don't think it's cute. I think it's weird, disgusting.
I think it's gross, actually. Yeah.
I don't know what I just said. And it's disgusting.
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom.
Back to you, Bob.
And welcome to Back to You, Bob, Dawson's Creek podcast. We are your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 318, Neverland, which aired on April 5th, 2000.
As we discussed, there was a huge six-week hiatus from a last episode where Pacey and Joey kissed, and it was this insane cliffhanger.
Insane.
And my birthday's coming up at that time, so that's just an exciting thing happening for me. April 5th, 2000.
I know. I'm very aware of where my birthday falls within these episodes, but we will get to that when the time comes.
Oh, okay. So what are we drinking today?
We are drinking the Girls' Night Out. You will need lemonade, grenadine, peach schnapps, cranberry schnapps, and lime schnapps. Fruity.
You and these schnapps.
Delicious. I mean, it's like fruit punch. It's like adult fruit punch.
Well, I'm going to dive right into episode 318, Neverland.
Please do.
So this episode opens up in the aftermath of Pacey and Joey's kiss. He stops kissing her and she hits him and asks him what the hell he thinks he's doing. He took one declaration of friendship and turned it into a kiss. Pacey says that it was an impulse. And Joey says that impulse can blow up all of their lives. Dawson, remember him? She calls Pacey's kiss a hormonal meltdown and Pacey's offended and says that Joey let him do it. So what? They kissed. Now their lives are just gonna, what, unravel? Joey storms off and starts walking home and Pacey tells her to get in the car and that he takes it all back. Okay, he takes it all back. Just get in the car. So Joey gets back in and he correctly deduces that she will be ignoring him until further notice. So Joey confides in her sister, Bessie, about the kiss, while Pacey does the same to his brother, Dougie. They're giving the play-by-play of the look, the kiss, the hitting, the punching, and the talk of Dawson. They both realize they'd lose Dawson if he found out about this. Dougie advises Pacey to tell Dawson the truth about Joey, but he needs to tell him somewhere that reminds Dawson of the strong history they share. He'll be angry momentarily, but the strength of their friendship will prevail. Doug also thinks that Joey reacted so strongly because she feels something for him, too. The perfect opportunity for Pacey presents itself when Dawson tells him that they're planning to put up a condominium where their old favorite childhood camping ground is. In light of what Dawson said, Pacey invites Dawson for one last camping trip before they knock it down. He hopes to tell Dawson the truth about Joey there. They get to the campsite, and as Pacey's about to confess everything to Dawson, Buzz, Pacey's little brother in the after-school program, shows up with a few of his friends, and they crash the camping trip. So meanwhile, it's Henry's birthday tomorrow, and Jen is so excited to celebrate with him. But he says that his mom actually planned a small family thing, and he can't do anything with Jen tomorrow. But then one of Henry's teammates walks by and says that he can't wait for Henry's party, and Jen is pissed. Joey, Jen, and Andy decide to have a girls' night out. Andy's convinced Joey and Jen that both of their problems with these boys stem from the fact that they don't spend enough time together, bonding as strong women. When Jen gets Joey alone, she lets Joey in on the fact that she knows something's going on with her and Pacey, and she's here if Joey wants to talk about it. All three girls bond over hating boys and decide to go to the roller rink. Andy starts to argue the other side of Jen and Joey's boy-hating rhetoric and how boys may be awful, but when they give you that look, it just drives you crazy. They're the worst, but they're also the best. This is when Jen stumbles upon Henry's birthday party at the same roller rink. It turns out that Henry was embarrassed of his kitty-themed birthday party that his mom was throwing him, so he lied to Jen to get out of it. Jack, meanwhile, decides to take advantage of his dad being away this weekend to have Ethan, his gay friend from Cape Fest and the train, come and stay at his house. Unfortunately, Andy lets Jack know that their dad canceled his trip at the last minute and plans to be here this weekend. But Jack remains steadfast. He is not canceling his sleepover plans. Mr. McPhee isn't thrilled that Jack has a guy's thing over, and he hovers over them all weekend. until Ethan invites him along with him and Jack to dinner, and later, per Mr. McPhee's suggestion, they check out a car museum. Jack's dad keeps trying to bond with him all weekend, but Jack won't have it. He's super irritated with his dad for third-wheeling them. He ends up blowing up, and the dad reveals that his trip this weekend wasn't canceled. He's the one that canceled it. He did it to spend the weekend with Jack. Ethan tells him that if he keeps fighting with his dad like this, he'll wake up one day and realize he's lost him. Ethan encourages Jack to let go of his anger. So when Jack talks to his dad opens up to Jack that one of his friend's kids got into some trouble and it made him realize how good he has it and how good of a son Jack is. And he just wanted to spend some time with Jack and get to know him. Mr. McPhee says someone had to make the first move here, and Jack agrees, but he didn't think it would be him. Pacey and Dawson recall their childhood friendship at this camping trip, and they unbury a time capsule, which contains a picture of Joey, Dawson's old movie stubs, and proof of Dawson and Pacey becoming blood brothers. Both of them receive forgotten reminders of how strong their friendship is. Dawson tells Pacey that he'd be lost without him and Joey. They've always been an important part of his life, and that Pacey is the most loyal friend he's ever had. So Joey decides to take Jen up on her offer to talk, and she says that Pacey's kiss and feelings for her came out of nowhere. It's baffling. And Jen challenges Joey and says, well, if they came out of nowhere, then why am I not surprised? And why is Joey so upset and confused if it means nothing? So Pacey ends up leaving the camping weekend, unfortunately, without telling Dawson the truth about Joey and the kiss. But he runs into Joey at the store. And they both agree that the kiss meant nothing. They're just friends, and it's really not a big deal. The tension is thick, and the looks on their faces are evident that they meant absolutely nothing they just said. Joey affectionately watches Pacey and Buzz walk off, and that is episode 318, Neverland.
Tensions are high.
Tensions are high. Romance is in the air. Spring has sprung.
This is a fantastic episode. And Jonathan Libnicki's back, and that excites me.
What a hoot. What a hoot nanny. He's just bringing the LOLs. This episode, he was zinging Dawson. He was not having Dawson.
Love him.
So who wrote Neverland, episode 318?
This episode was written by Maggie Friedman. This is her first episode with Dawson's Creek. She will be with Dawson's Creek for 10 episodes total through season 6. As a writer, she got her start on Wasteland, which was the other Kevin Williamson vehicle.
Right.
So they knew her. They knew about her, they being the writers of season 3. And when Wasteland got canceled, they were like, Maggie, come on over here. And she did. So this is her first episode with us. And like I said, she'll be with us for another 10. She went on to write on series like Jack and Bobby, which is a Greg Berlanti show, Related, Eastwick, Witches of East End. And most recently, she created Firefly Lane, which is that Katherine Heigl, Sarah Chalk show on Netflix, I believe.
You don't have to tell me about Firefly Lane. I was there. I watched every last second.
Yeah, well, she created it. She is a great little writer and still working today.
And who directed it?
It was directed by Patrick Norris. We first met Patrick on episode 209, The Election. And most recently, he was with us for 303, None of the Above. So two very Andy-centric episodes, both really good. And this will be his last episode with us.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Thank you for your service, Patrick Norris.
That's sad.
Yeah. If you want to hear more about his career, you can go back and listen to us talk about him on 209, The Election.
I'm going to talk about him now. What about guest cast shout out?
Well, I'm going to give our guest cast shout out to Adam Kaufman playing Ethan, which it's crazy that we haven't shouted him out yet. But his first episode, we had to shout out Marla Gibbs. His second episode, we had to shout out Bianca Lawson because we didn't shout her out because we shouted out Marla Gibbs. So here we are.
Yeah, so he hasn't gotten it yet. That's kind of shocking. Yeah, I was wondering who you were going to give it to because I was like, there's no one there.
Yeah. He started his career, he did an episode of the show Chicken Soup for the Soul. There was a TV series. I don't remember it at all.
I do not remember that at all.
Yeah, well, that was his very first credit. He moved on to do 5 episodes of Buffy and then 5 episodes of Dawson's Creek. So we're right in the middle of his arc. This is episode 3 of his 5 episode arc. He went on to do tons of stuff. He was in like all of the procedural shows. He did episodes of Law & Order, Law & Order SVU, CSI, CSI New York, CSI Miami, Veronica Mars, Mad Men, and then he had 13 episode arc on Without a Trace. He was a regular on State of Affairs, speaking of Katherine Heigl. Mm-hmm. And
I watched that. I loved that show.
It was only one season, right?
Yeah. was like a network version of Homeland.
Oh, cool. Nice. Yeah, well, he was a regular on it. And he has an upcoming movie called Weak, W-E-A-K. So he's still working today. I feel like in Dawson's, he comes off older to me for some reason, like his face.
For sure.
And now he has a baby face.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's very strange.
He reverse aged. I remember him on Buffy and State of Affairs. I don't know if I remember him on Veronica Mars.
I think he might have only had an episode or two on V-Mars. And yeah, like I said, he'll be with us for two more. His story is not over.
His story isn't over, and none of our stories are over. Music moment. Do you have anything?
I can tell you that I don't really, but the Edmund McCain song at the end, anytime I hear anytime I hear Edwin McCain's voice, I am put directly into this time and place. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm just laughing because I also have trouble saying Edwin McCain, but only recently. Like when we were teenagers, I could say Edwin McCain.
Oh, rolled off the tongue.
Yeah. Do you think like we're just old? So what happened? Are we losing our brain to verbal functioning?
Our verbal dexterity is going down the tubes.
Edwin McCain. Edwin McCain. You should use that instead of red leather, yellow leather, red leather. Oh my God.
What about you?
But I agree. Sorry. Yeah. The Edwin McCain song. It's not something I knew, but I knew it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know it.
Exactly.
In my head, but I knew it in my soul.
Yeah. It's in the fabric of my life. I just couldn't tell you exactly what it was.
I just knew the voice and what a moment.
Yeah. The song, what a moment. The song is called Go Be Young.
We love a supermarket moment. It's so real.
What does that mean?
It's just
like a song comes on.
No. Joey and Pacey running into each other at a supermarket. Like, I love that. That's so real.
Was it Molly's Market?
I think it was Molly's Market. No, it was the Village Market, according to Wiki. Mm. How could you not know that?
My bad.
But according to this, they went to Entree New in this episode. When did they go to Entree New? Is that where Jack and Ethan and Mr.
McPhee? Maybe. Oh, cute.
I love Entree New. I love an Entree New moment.
Me too. Do you have a past, first, present?
No. Not this episode, not this week.
It's not even a past, first, present. It's just something that I noticed. I loved how they did this Joey, Bessie, Doug, Pacey intercut scene talking about the kiss, which exactly mirrors the Joey, Bessie, Dawson, Pacey intercut scene after Joey and Dawson kissed in season two. It's just really, really well done. I loved it.
I loved that homage.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good.
So good, but we'll get to it. Let's open it up and we can talk about it. Joey is so annoying.
This is the opening scene when she pushes Pacey away.
Yeah, and I understand where her emotions are coming from. And like, this is a big deal. This is a game changer. This is really risky territory in terms of Dawson. But her anger in this chunk of episodes is so grating to me. And this is like a prime example of it. She's just kind of screaming at Pacey after he kissed her.
I think I agree, but she did just get dumped the night before.
True.
And then Pacey's kissing her. So maybe she doesn't mention AJ in the breakup in the conversation. It's like Dawson. It goes straight to Dawson. But Pacey has a history of acting first, thinking later. So she might be like,
that's a good point. I didn't even think of that context.
Right now, she just sees it as an impulsive kiss. So she's not getting the romance of it all.
That is a really great point. I didn't even connect the dots that they were driving home from her being broken up with and having sobbed in a bus station all night or wherever she was.
But I like that they start her so hot so she can kind of come down slowly and get to where she gets at the end of the episode.
You convinced me.
And it's old Joey. You know, it's like season one Joey, which I kind of like.
And it's funny you word it that way because I have much later in my notes, which we'll get to. I felt like we had a little bit of season one Jen in this episode, like her kind of like voice of reason, yes, mature, like trying to bring stuff out of Joey thing. And it was very season one to me.
Trying to bond with Joey and Joey being like, no, I'm fine.
Completely.
Yeah, definitely. I like Joey and Pacey's corduroy jackets.
Love, love, love.
I like Pacey's Jeep.
Love, love, love.
All things we've discussed.
So like we said, we have that intercut moment of Doug and Pacey talking about Joey and Bessie and Joey talking about Pacey. I just love the dynamics of both sets of sibling groups. I love Joey. It always surprises me how open Joey is with Bessie, because Bessie feels more like a mother figure. Obviously, Dougie feels like a brother figure to Pacey, but it's really cute. And I love it. I love this scene.
I really like they use that technique where, you know, in one scene they ask a question and the next scene they answer it, just using the cuts really cleverly.
It's great.
And I enjoy that, as you said.
I also love that Doug references speed. I feel like speed was such a big thing, and it still is. Like, people still make that reference about a bomb on a bus.
Yeah.
So impactful. I love that.
He basically describes Joey as a bus.
Yeah.
So you can see some of the crew in the reflection of Pacey's car.
That's so funny. At the very top.
At the, if you go to like 206, it's like the shot when you're on the other side of the driver's seat and it's going through Pacey's window and out the other window to Joey. You could see a guy in sunglasses. I just love little snafus.
And that's the kind of thing, this is getting a little bit technical, but when I worked on network shows, it would be the job of the producers and the post team and everyone who's watching the thing to find little issues like that, because you were basically writing the episode, shooting the episode, editing the episode, and then putting it on air. There wasn't this like, oh, we're shooting this series in April and it'll be on air the next year. You know, there are very different timetables now. So stuff like that often got through. Now we have a process where we shoot the thing, we edit the thing, we mix the thing. And then oftentimes streamers will have this 12-week period where they take the finished show, QC it, like quality control, go through frame by frame and look for stuff like that. So then my department will send it off, and within a couple of days we'll get a report back. And it's like, at this time code, man with sunglasses visible 4 frames lower left or whatever.
Wow.
And then we take it and we do visual effects to paint that out. So it is someone's job to like sit there and they watch it. I may have spoken about this before, I can't remember, but the person doing the QC watches only a quarter of the frame. So it's like only the top right at a time, so that they're not getting sucked into the story. It's like just an image. So they'll see if there's something that shouldn't be there.
Wow.
So it's a very different process now. And it's fun to watch shows like this, because there's often like, oh, there's the boom operator in the storefront, or there's the, you know, whatever it is, cameraman, you can see his reflection, and you don't really see that anymore.
Yeah, it's wild. But like you said, it was just the pacing of it. They didn't have time.
No time. Anyway, forgive my tangent.
So Dougie compares Joey to the bus in speed. And he also says that Pacey should tell Dawson the truth, but he should tell him the truth in a place that is important to them, that would remind Dawson of their friendship and their history. And Pacey's like, I am shocked that that's actually good advice.
Dougie and Pacey are having a little bonding in these last handful of episodes.
Yeah, it's cute. You know, he lives with Dougie now because his sister and her kids moved in.
Very cute.
And then Joey asks Bessie for advice, and she's like, you need to ask someone your own age. And Joey's like, I have no one. Like, I can't tell anyone about this, which is setting her up nicely to talk to Jen about it.
It's a little bit sticky. She can't talk to Andy. She can't talk to Jack. She can't talk to Dawson. She can't talk to Pacey. Jen's her only option.
Because Andy still, every now and then, gives hints that she loves Pacey. And Joey and Andy are very good friends. Not really a love triangle. It's a love quadrangle, and it's going to get messy.
Quadrilateral.
And we love a love quadrangle moment.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I love that Andy and Jack eat breakfast together. The fact that they like have a sit-down breakfast is cuckoo to me. And they're eating outside. The McPhees are doing it right.
Next to the bricks and the planters. I know. I love their little house family setup.
It's really cute. They have nice little plant racks, little cushions.
They're like overgrown.
The plants?
Jack and Andy are going to be overrun.
It's because mom isn't there to take care of them. Do you think that Mr. McPhee is out there trimming the bushes?
No. Yeah, Mrs. McPhee was always just crazy out in the yard pruning. We need her back.
Okay. Now, this is, I know that I'm getting caught up in logistics here, and I know that we can explain it away, but it really bothers me that Jack says that Ethan's coming for the weekend and that he can't send him home because he just came for 2 hours on a train. When Ethan lives in Capeside, his parents live in Capeside, he can just go home.
True. I know. Rebuttal. That is a huge... Ethan could have just gone to his parents' house.
It's weird to me that he's coming to sleep over.
Unless he doesn't talk to his parents anymore. And that's what he means later when he says, okay.
I was wondering that. It's kind of like an open-ended...
We fixed it.
We can explain it away, but the stakes weren't there for me when he's like, I'm not going to tell him after 2 hours on a train that he has to go back. I'm like, he really doesn't.
I think that's it. I think Ethan doesn't get along with his parents because he's gay. Because he's gay.
But he was just home like 2 weeks ago.
Wasn't he home for Cape Fest?
Yeah.
Well, he stayed in a tent. Hint, hint. Oh. Ethan is homeless. He's unhoused.
Ethan is unhoused.
He lives in a tent and on trains. Yes, no home. I mean, Henry and Jen and the birthday stuff. I don't know. What do you want to say?
No, I got nothing. I was going to skip right ahead to Andy and the girls.
They both have great hair. I like their hair in this scene where Henry says he has a birthday and she can't come because it's a family party. And then his teammate's like, yo, Henry.
Can't wait to come to your party, man.
And Jen is like, dare you? You're having a party, didn't invite me? Joey walks into the cafeteria. She sees Dawson and Pacey together. She cannot sit with them. Not in the wake of this kiss.
She is troubled and everybody knows it.
So she goes to Andy and Jen's table and they have a nice little girl scene and I like it. And then Pacey and Dawson talk about the campground that's going to be torn down once they put up the condominium and how it's sad because that was their favorite place to camp when they were childhood besties.
Yeah, I really enjoy this scene. I think it's cute. I think Andy is ever the optimist. She's like, come on, let's have a girls' night. It's going to be great. It's going to fix all our problems. This is the reason we have all these problems.
Yeah, this sequence was just like very season two and it made me happy. And
agreed.
It seems like every season so far, they do like a boys versus girls episode. And this week's was this season's. And it's always fun dynamics to play with.
Agree. I love it.
But Pacey is bringing Dawson there to tell him about Joey.
It's bold. I mean, it's not bold. It makes sense given the history, but I wouldn't want to tell him that. In the middle of the woods where no one could hear me scream.
He's isolating him. I see the strategy behind it, you know, because then there's like no phones or... Oh, there are phones actually because Buzz has a phone.
Yeah, Buzz's friend has a phone.
But, you know, there's no distractions. And even if Dawson gets mad, they could talk it through there. Like there's nowhere for Dawson to like storm off to.
Yes.
He can't climb down his ladder and get in a rowboat.
Agreed.
So Joey and Jen are in the pits about the boys and their lives. And Andy suggests a... girls' night. And it's like, don't you think it's abnormal that you don't hang out with anyone who doesn't have a penis?
And Jen, in that moment, Henry walks into the cafeteria and Jen looks at him and she goes, you know what? You're right. And then when she's on board, Joey's on board. We love to see it. Mr. McPhee comes home to find Ethan and Jack on the front stoop having a convo. And he's like, you should have asked me because if you asked me, you would have saved yourself the embarrassment of having to send your friend home. They have a heated little chat.
I mean, it's not helping that Jack's wearing a turtleneck. Let me just say that.
Yeah, an orange one.
It's crazy. I love the McPhee's neighborhood. I want to live there.
It's very, very quaint. Very quaint big houses.
I love that cul-de-sac. A roundabout?
I feel like...
A turnabout? I don't know what it is, because it's not a true cul-de-sac.
No. It's definitely a neighborhood, though. It's like very homey. I feel like Jack's turtleneck was very popular. I feel like I had a lot of guy friends who had that turtleneck. Not that color, but the wide ribbed mock turtleneck.
Yeah, it's very NSYNC.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's very NSYNC.
Like Justin Timberlake definitely wore that one of the videos.
100%.
But not this color.
I loved that Jack said, if watching me hang out with my friends makes you suffer, then you deserve to suffer. Very angsty.
Jack is not changing his plans. He's having a sleepover.
He's like, look, I don't really care what you think. I don't live here for you. I live here for Andy. Get used to it, Dad.
I love the dad actor. I just think he's so good at playing that part.
He's really good. And in this episode specifically, because you see a little bit of a turn in him.
Yeah.
And I feel like up until now, we've only had hard ass Mr. McPhee. And in this episode, you do see like his more like charming, personable side.
Yes. And I appreciate the pacing of it, even though we don't know this was the plan. It obviously wasn't because they had such a big turnover in writers last year. But seeing the dad's journey to get to this spot has been a full year. And it wasn't like in a matter of an episode or two. Like, it's just a very believable, well-plotted, well-spaced out turn.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it takes people years to get over their kids coming out.
And shout out to David Dukes. We've talked about him before, but I feel like he's the perfect actor for the role.
A legend.
Speaking of legends, Buzz and Pacey are a dream team. I cannot deal with these little Buzz Pacey scenes.
Dream team. I can't believe they didn't bring him back for like a full-time season four spot.
I know. They're so cute. There's this one little moment where Joshua Jackson's like holding Jonathan Lipnicki's arms and like makes Jonathan Lipnicki punch himself in the face. I don't know. It's a really cute little dynamic.
Such cute energy. Josh is so cute. Mm-hmm. But he's basically telling Buzz that he can't hang out with him this weekend. He has to go camping with his friend.
And he's like, I want to go camping.
And Pacey's like, you can't, little jerk. And Jen is basically doing recon. I'm like, Joey, do you anything to tell me? Are you sure you don't have anything to tell me? There's something weird going on. Me, you, Dawson, Pacey.
We're an incestuous little group. That's what she says.
Now, Jen's been seeing something going on since Four to Tango.
Jen's been in on it at the play. She kind of got confirmation from him that something was brewing. She knows.
And then the night of the Principal Green rally, they touched base again. And Pacey said he's never going to get the girl because he's ducky.
Yeah. So it's one of those weird situations where like Jen knows, but she doesn't actually know what's happened. She doesn't know that they kissed. So when she brings it up, Joey has this like overreaction of Pacey told you, kind of. Those words aren't spoken, but neither of them are quite sure what each other are talking about, even though they know they're talking about Pacey, if that makes sense.
Totally.
I love the idea of a girls' night where every girl picks an activity and they do them all. I think that that's such a good idea. I love that Andy McPhee can't just have a girls' night too. She's like, here's the structure of the girls' night. Here is the plan.
Oh yeah, there's no relaxing with Andy McPhee.
No.
Maybe you should throw a girls' night where everyone picks something.
Just need to find some girls who want to come over and hang out.
But Joey's not talking. Jen tries to get it, but no. Joey is like clammed up. She's clammed up.
She's on edge. Joey is on edge.
What does Mr. McPhee bring Jack and Ethan when they're playing chess? Is it iced tea?
I think you're right.
And Jack just thinks that his dad is hovering. He wants nothing to do with his dad. He thinks his dad's being embarrassing.
Also, this, I think, is the only time I've ever seen anyone play chess on one of those chess tables. I feel like they're always just for decoration.
Oh, chess, that's so Ethan.
It is. Ethan and AJ should go off and play chess together for the rest of eternity.
Oh my God, they should. The intellectuals. So as a blanket statement, I don't cover it in the recaps much, but Dawson is just kind of on this like existential, what's my childhood passion? What's my passion in life? Is my childhood passion of filmmaking my passion, my career? It never really goes anywhere in the episodes, but we're in a place where it comes up like this week and next week. I don't really cover it much.
He's kind of been on the trajectory ever since the film festival.
Yeah, and he's lost himself. And they touch on it in every episode, but it just doesn't really go anywhere. Nikki, in seeing other filmmakers his age, made him question that maybe he needs to open up his interests. But he's questioning whether his childhood passions will be his passions moving into adulthood. And he's questioning his identity.
And that comes up big time going to the fort.
Yeah.
They show up and he's like, this is classic me. Because in my head, this place was larger than life.
And it's not. I mean, I know where it's headed, but it's a little spoilery, so can't really say it, but...
That is a thread that runs through this whole second half of the season, for sure.
So Andy's idea at the girls' night out is makeovers. Nails and facials. Not really makeover, skincare.
Joey doesn't know what hers is. She comes up with it mid-girls' day.
Yeah. She's tired of her adult problems, and she wants to go back to when she was a kid and had no problems, and she decides she wants to go to the skating rink.
And then Jen, curveball of all curveballs, says, I think your activity and mine can go hand in hand. She pulls out three Victoria's Secret bags. How much money is Jen making at Larry's Fresh Fish that she went to Victoria's Secret and bought three outfits? That's insanity for high schooler.
Would that have run you in 2000?
At least a couple $100, I feel.
Wow, Jen's so generous.
Yeah, crazy. Because they got like robes and stuff. Like they're like
boas.
Yeah.
She's basically turning them into Victoria's Secret angels. Like the runway look where they have like boas and they're in teddies or whatever. Nightgowns.
And they do full makeovers because her hair is done. Their makeup's done.
Yeah.
They're going for it. Joey says, I'd love to just like sit here and eat ice cream. And Jen's like, yeah, my mom wouldn't let me eat ice cream. She was afraid I'd get fat. That's the 90s for ya.
That Mrs. Lindley really traumatized her, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the girls are super cute, and I wish I was there, just like I wished I was at the last one with Abby Morgan.
I love this moment when Ethan asks Mr. McPhee if he wants to go to dinner. Mr. McPhee is so happy to be included. It is so cute. I know that it's tumultuous and obviously Jack doesn't want him to come and is thrown off by Ethan asking, but the enthusiasm with which Mr. McPhee turns off the oven and is like, yeah, I would love to. It's so cute.
I know. And all I could think about in that moment is how lonely he probably is, like, because it looks like he's making like a little Lean Cuisine microwavable kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or like he's reheating leftovers. And that's where my mind went. My mind was like, he's probably so lonely. His wife is away. Yeah. His kids are too cool for him. It gave me like sad insight into his life. It made me really feel for him. Like just that image of him reheating leftovers said a lot, at least to me.
Dawson and Pacey are camping in the woods. Buzz and his little friends come riding up on the bikes and Buzz is like, we found them. It's Buzz and two friends. And then we catch a night. And I love that they wrote in that one of the kids has a cell phone because he's like, I talked to your parents. You're good to stay. A 10-year-old with a cell phone is just plain wrong, which is funny because I feel like now that's when people start getting phones, which is crazy. But yeah, it's really cute. I love this. I love the kids and Dawson and Pacey. I just love it. I love Buzz's little knit bucket hat.
It's very cute. Dawson and Pacey together are cute. Pacey and Buzz together are cute. And throwing them all together, just a recipe for cuteness.
True story.
And then Dawson tries to scare them with like scary stories. He doesn't want to be too scary. So he starts telling them plots of like Spielberg movies that they've all seen. And then he settles on a horror story. And Dawson's being cute.
Mm-hmm.
Good little episode for Dawson-Pacey friendship.
Big time. Even though Pacey's supposed to be ripping his heart out of his chest.
It is entree new. Actually, the window says deluxe, but it's the entree new exterior. At the dinner, Mr. McPhee and Ethan are bonding over cars. And then Mr. McPhee's like, there's a car museum down the street. That's where Jack and Mr. McPhee get into their fight. And Mr. McPhee's like, I canceled this weekend to be with you.
It's tricky. It's a tricky dynamic. Obviously, both of them are kind of, they've been butting heads for a really long time. And Mr. McPhee says in this episode, one of us had to take the first step to like mending this relationship. And that's what I was trying to do. But he didn't express it to Jack. So like, you can't expect Jack to have known or to, you know, like it's just they're in this really weird territory. But it's really, really nice, as I've already mentioned, just like Mr. McPhee smiling and chatting with Ethan, like he's in his element. It's like super cute.
Yeah, we've never really seen him smile and have fun before. So it's a nice change of pace for the character. Like to see that jade of him.
Very cute. Jen, Andy, and Joey go to the skating rink in their Victoria's Secret outfits. And Jen is like, I need a break. You two go for another lap without me. And as she's standing there, she looks up and sees Henry whacking a pinata. And there's a clown. Like it's a full child's birthday party.
It's crazy. It's crazy that he didn't want Jen to be there, but he was okay with letting his like teammates come.
Completely. There's so many men in Letterman jackets and Jen couldn't be there. It's cuckoo.
This is crazy. Like, does not make sense.
He looks at her and he's like, uh-oh, in his little Doug Flutie jersey.
I just would have made it like Jen could tell he's lying up front and be like, okay, why don't you want to spend, you know, your birthday with me? And he's just like, I just don't want you there.
Right.
And then she just catches him out because she could still be hurt without knowing there's going to be a party. I mean, knowing that it's a friend's party. She could have gotten mad over being excluded from the family party. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Dawson and Pacey, the kids fall asleep and Dawson and Pacey are up at the campsite and Pacey finds his and Dawson's time capsule from when they were children.
Love a time capsule plot device.
Yes. And Dawson is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you found this. Look, here's our oath of loyalty. And Pacey's like, this is when we became blood brothers.
They're blood brothers. It's so cute. a little disturbing. I actually don't think it's cute. I think it's weird, disgusting.
I think it's gross, actually. Yeah.
I don't know what I just said. And it's disgusting. What I was going to say was, you know, when they made us like do time capsules in the 90s and stuff, who would ever remember where it is? Come on.
Never. I bet I have some somewhere in the world that I don't even remember putting there.
Oh, of course. Like they used to make us do that like every, you know, year in school or whatever for the first few like grades 1 through 4 or whatever. But like, do I remember where we buried them? No. Basically, like, here's the time capsule right where we left it. Right where we left it in 1987.
Good for him.
The attention to detail in his memory is just next level.
Next level.
There's also a picture of Joey in it, of course, which is weird. Weird.
Classic.
Pacey's like, she's so beautiful. Like, she's 5. What's happening?
The obsession with Josephine.
Dawson talks about finding himself this, you know, this arc. He says that Pacey and Joey are like the only consistent things in his life. And they've always been his friends. And as long as he remembers, it's always been the three of them. And Pacey's so loyal.
And Pacey says, if I'm loyalty, Dawson, it's only because you cast me in this role. Like, you're the storyteller. I loved that moment. I thought that was really wonderful writing of like, because Dawson's touching on his filmmaker arc and like, is this the thing? Is this not the thing? And then he tells the scary stories. He tries to tell multiple stories to the kids and they're like, I know that one, that's Jurassic Park. I know that one, that's E.T. And so finally Dawson just comes up with his own story. As you said, Pacey's like, that's it. Like, you're a storyteller and like you, how you see me is a reflection of the story that you're telling yourself, kind of. It felt much deeper than I gave it credit for the first time around that conversation.
Yeah, it was really nice. I wonder, once the truth comes out and Dawson's mad, it feels like something Pacey could say then as well. I can't remember if he does, but like, you know, I'm not this loyal person. Like, you cast me in that role. It's not what I want.
Yeah.
That's not how I am. That's how you see me, or that's the way you've made me. We'll have to see if that's what happens. I can't remember.
We will soon enough. Jen and Henry,
they talk it out. They make up.
They talk it out. Jen says that his mom invited them to stay, and that's the only reason that they're staying. But, you know, more of the same. They talk it out. They get over it. Jack and Mr. McPhee have a blow up, as we discussed. And then they go back home and Ethan and Jack have a little debrief at the end of the day. And Jack talks about how angry he is. And Ethan talks about like, hey, you got to let it go before it's too late, kind of thing. Again, hinting at what you were talking about earlier. We don't know what happened. We don't know if he has a disconnect with his parents, if his parents are dead, if there's like, who knows what the situation is. But obviously he has some baggage around parents. And then he says to Jack, the nice side effect of letting go of anger is that you don't have to be angry anymore. And I feel like that kind of hit home finally after an episode of talking about it. Jack kind of took that on board, it felt like.
Yeah. And then he goes and talks to his dad, and his dad says, you know, one of us had to try eventually. And
it was very cute. They had a nice little bonding moment. Finally. I feel like they've both been craving it.
Yes. Now, something just random that I liked in the Jen Henry skating scene was that Henry's wearing a Flutie jersey, which is the same person that he is the mouth guard from, right?
Yeah, Doug Flutie mouthpiece.
And then Jen says that she bought Henry a Bruce Springsteen album signed vinyl or whatever, but she sold it when she found out Henry didn't invite her to a party. So I like that they're keeping the Bruce Springsteen. You know, he was singing Bruce a few episodes ago, right? At Cape Fest.
Yeah, at Cape Fest. Yeah, barefoot at Cape Fest.
Just little things. I appreciate the little Easter eggs.
Totally. So good.
I appreciate those little Easter eggs. You know what I'm saying?
Sure do.
Joey opens up to Jen and says, you know, yes, there's something going on with me and Pacey. It's come out of nowhere. I don't know what's happening. This is crazy. And Jen basically says, well, if it came out of nowhere, then why am I not shocked? And if it's so crazy, then why are you reacting this way? You know, obviously it's very real.
Yeah, I think this episode was very much so in place for Joey to realize that her reaction to Pacey and what you were saying of like, he's impulsive and he just does stuff sometimes. That's not what this is. Like,
there's been something going on. She just hasn't really clocked it.
Until now, Joey's put it all on Pacey, and now Jen is kind of putting it on both of them. So Joey can stretch out that energy between the two of them and the blame between the two of them. You know, it's not just something that happened to Joey. It's something that she participated in because they both have feelings for each other.
Yeah. And then they run in as discussed. Joey runs into Pacey and Buzz at the market.
And I will say, she looks fresh as a daisy. So all of that skin stuff, she's glowing.
She is glowing. And she's wearing a little bit of lipstick, I think. She looks very pretty.
And he's like, you were right. It was an impulse. It was stupid. I don't know what I was thinking. Classic me, acting now, thinking later. And her face says one thing, but her words say another. She says, I totally reacted. It's nothing. I agree with you. It's just a kiss. Who cares?
Yeah, she has a sad face on when he says it was dumb.
Now Jen has convinced her that she needs to be honest with herself. And now that she's honest with herself, she realizes she has feelings for Pacey. And then Pacey comes and says it was nothing. And now she's like, is it nothing? Was it nothing? So many thoughts.
The angst. The drama.
The drama is real. And then she wistfully watches him just walk off with Buzz into the grassy knoll.
And as discussed, the Pacey Buzz dynamic is top tier. So she's like, oh, look at that. Look at him.
My ovaries.
My ovaries are exploding.
I want to be a teen mother just like my sister. And then Buzz is like, is that the one? And Pacey's like, what one? And he's like, the one you love, you doofus. But Joey's looking at him like, there goes my man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's my man.
Wouldn't you? He helps him up the little curb.
I think I would. I think I just might would.
And Buzz has a little orange soda strapped to his handlebars. It's really cute.
So cute.
Man, things are happening.
Do you want to hear something shocking?
Sure do.
So the episode Cinderella Story, which, as we know, aired on March 1st. This is April 5th.
Uh-huh.
That episode was watched by 4.45 million people on its original airing on the WB. So it's not a huge drop, but this episode actually fell in the ratings to 4.12 million. So they lost about, is it 300,000 viewers?
Something like that.
My point is the cliffhanger didn't work in the sense that I think it was supposed to be this big cliffhanger-y, let's get everyone talking, water cooler-y, oh my God, our April 5th episode is going to be huge because everyone's going to want to see the fallout of this kiss. And I found it interesting that it didn't quote unquote work, if you will. However, moving into the back half of the season, the ratings do kind of start to climb.
There was an article in Entertainment Weekly about this. Like, when this episode came out, they basically were like, our ratings have been falling. This is our attempt. This relationship and love triangle is our attempt to kind of revitalize things. It makes sense. It doesn't make sense that that fell between the cliffhanger, but it was a known issue that they were losing viewers.
Yeah, the ratings continue to fall for a few more episodes, but by the season finale, they're high. So it must have taken just a little longer for word of mouth to spread there.
In this Entertainment Weekly article, it's called The Latest on Dawson's Creek's New Love Affair. And it's just basically outlining the ratings and then interviewing Joshua Jackson. It's very brief. The article says, on Pacey and Joey, the duo has been palling around ever since Dawson asked Pacey to look after his ex-girlfriend early this season. And now Jackson confides that he and Holmes are going to heat up Capeside at least for a little while. Quote, there's going to be a lot more kissing involved, Jackson says. And there can never possibly be enough kissing Katie Holmes, if you ask me.
Oh my God, and they're exes at this point.
I know. It's really, I mean, you've seen it with Dr. Odyssey. Like, he is such a suave, like, he's so charismatic and, like, flirty. And all of his press is so,
wow,
like this. It's been consistent for the last 25 years.
Wow. That JJ.
He's got it.
Spitting game. Whatever the kids say. Riz.
He's got Riz, baby.
So we have a Creek speak.
Ooh, exciting.
Via Instagram DM from Jackie. And it says, hi. Even though I've been a huge Dawson's Creek fan since the day it premiered, I only recently discovered your podcast. It has very quickly climbed my list of favorites. You might say it's true love. Wink. You two are so delightful and witty with great chemistry. It's fun encountering two strangers who seem to live inside my Dawson's obsessed brain and share the same thoughts. Thank you for the validation and keep up the hilarious, comforting work.
Thanks, Jackie. That is why we started this podcast. I feel like it's been really validating to hear other people who are the same level of Dawson's obsessed as we are.
Yeah. It's still very rich in the culture. It's still very out there. It's still very relevant, especially with Joshua Jackson. You know, like, it's just having a moment. I feel also with Seth Cohen's Nobody Wants This, OC, yes. Dawson's are having a
resurgence.
What you watching?
Oh, what am I watching? I started and finished the season of Heartstopper.
What's that again?
It's season 3. It's a Netflix show. It's queer dramedy, I guess. And it's super cute. This season wasn't my favorite, but still a lot more enjoyable than a lot of things and still better than a lot of things. But I just thought it lost some of its cuteness. It used to be really cute and romantic and sweet. It's about gay teenagers and coming out. And this season just felt a little too serious.
I feel like it's hard to keep up that like new relationship energy.
So it was good though, you know. What about you? What are you watching?
Well, I watched, started and finished Nobody Wants This.
Oh boy.
Also on Netflix. And speaking of new relationship energy, oh my God, it's really good.
I also watched it all.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel?
I really enjoyed the show. I thought it was really funny. I love him. I love her depending on the project. Like, I love her in Veronica Mars because she has some funny quips in that. And I like her in like the Bad Moms movies. When she's like acerbic and kind of bitter, like her character in this, I don't love it. I did like the show. I just, this is going to sound bad, but I just felt like he could do better. The character and something about the ending, like him, spoiler alert, it's been out for like 2 months. I feel like everyone's watched it.
Fast forward if you don't want to hear it.
Something about him giving up his life and his dream for her, I wouldn't have done it because I just didn't feel like she was good enough for him.
And I'm curious to see how the next season will go. I don't know what's happening with me. I don't know if I'm in perimenopause. I don't know. I am so emotional.
What made you emotional specifically? The ending or all of it or the concept?
No, just the new relationship energy. Obviously, the pros of being with someone long-term greatly outweigh the like initial flash in the pan, new relationship energy, blah, blah, blah. But something about this show made me be like, oh my God, that first few months of any relationship is like magic, but also torture when you're in it.
Almost like you wish you could do it all over again, but not literally, like not like there's something wrong with your life now. You want to experience that joy and the newness.
Exactly.
I think I would have liked the series better if it ended more on the cliffhanger of it all.
Do you think that was him declaring that he was not going to take the job?
Well, I think the conclusion she came to in the finale, what I took it as, is that she knows they can't be together in his current job because she'll never fit the mold of like a rabbi's wife. And they're never going to give that job to him if he's married to someone like her. And so to me, yeah, I kind of thought they were mutually exclusive. Like he had to choose between her and the job.
I'll be interested to see how it shakes out. I think that he's going to try to get both. I mean, they drove home so hard that that's like his lifelong dream to be the head rabbi. And he's so into it.
I preferred Rebecca. That was another thing to like the whole series. I was just like, what's wrong with Rebecca? She's so cute.
But they don't have the spark. That's what I'm saying.
There was a lot of things I thought was like their first date conversation was weird. Like just things moved really fast. And I did like it. But there were things when I watched it where I was like,
fair, fair. Let's not poke holes.
Fine.
Thanks. Okay, that's it.
Okay, so you watched it all.
Watched it all. I also watched the first episode of Dr. Odyssey. I'm with you. Like everything that you said is kind of aligned with how I was feeling. I do think Joshua Jackson looks really good. We've talked about his like red carpet style a lot in the past. And I feel like he's very in line with that in the show because obviously he's a doctor, but he's like wearing very tailored like pants and shirts and stuff. He looked good. But otherwise, I don't personally think I need to continue on with it. I think I wanted it to scratch an itch that it didn't scratch, but then I went over to Nobody Wants This and my Seth Cohen dreams came true instead of my Pacey Witter dreams.
Yeah, I've given up on Dr. Odyssey as well, but I did hear they have a showrunner switch at some point, so maybe it'll get a little better.
Maybe I'll revisit if I hear it gets good.
All right,
I think that's it.
Wow. What will we drink next week for the Dawson's Drink for episode 319, Stolen Kisses?
Next week, we will be drinking the Stolen Kisses cocktail. It is gin, pastis, egg white, and simple syrup.
Mm,
really not looking forward to it. You don't like gin, and pastis is anise flavored, and I don't like licorice. So sounds terrible, but the name works.
We effing hate it, but you might like it.
Only one way to find out.
We will see you there, because this episode is big. It is so big. It is bigger than big.
Such a good one. I cannot wait to get there.
It's bigger than big.
Talk to you then.
Okay, bye.